And if you got a bulletin on the way in, there's some notes in there. Basically, if you didn't get that bulletin, you just keep your eye on the screen behind me, because everything that's in that bulletin is going to end up on that screen. But either way, follow along here today. We're going to be looking from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. And man, it's just amazing. This book is such a masterpiece of God's truth to us. I really went into it originally thinking about the armor of God, and we have chosen the scripture, as the Lord has led me, of 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 6, as our battle verse for the year. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And that's been our desire for the year. In this month, we are praying for relational strongholds and strongholds in our families and intergenerational strongholds to finally be torn down in the families of this church and in our own lives. And so one of the things that we really got to have in this is to have our armor. We've got to have our spiritual armor to be able to do that. And so if you want to open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, we're going to read verses 10 through 12. And if you wouldn't mind standing for the reading of that area of this morning, thank you. This is in respect and also affirming. This word is for me today. So let's read Ephesians 6. Verses 10 through 12. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Let's pray again. Lord God, as we read these words, help us to be able to unpack this in such a way that we can understand what you're trying to do in our life today. And Lord, sometimes I get jumbled up by trying to take on too much at one time. I look at things in too broad of a view. Let me think about today. Let me think about my life today. It's good to have a plan for tomorrow, but we really need to live in the present moment. Let us think about how the enemy, who the enemy is, first of all, and how he's trying to derail us today. Let us try to take a look at the different relationships in our own lives, because these verses come at the tail end of speaking of all these different relationships. And so, Father, please just bless us to have the proper tools to be able to do that one thing in the end. It says to stand. Help us to stand. We sing that song today, and I just love it so much as we sing. And it's talking about standing in the power of Christ. And so, Lord, help us today to unpack this in Jesus' name. Amen. Y'all can have a seat. Let's just let's take a look at this. So the title of the message, God Created Us for Relationship. And I mean, whenever we look at the relationships that are exampled to us here, we got to know that that's got to be the reason why the devil seeks to destroy relationships. I don't know about the rest of you guys, but I've noticed that those relationships that are the closest in my life, the ones that are the dearest, the ones that that mean the most to me, sometimes I find that the enemy is constantly trying to get in the middle of those relationships and trying to derail them. And it can be the most painful. And so, like, you know, just a person you pass on the street, if they just don't look at you right or whatever, you can shrug that off. But whenever it's that person that you're sharing your life with, maybe your mate in life or your child or a parent or even someone within the church family, and we have, a misunderstanding or whatever, oftentimes that can be extremely painful. And it causes us to almost just be quick to want to just throw in the towel and give up, because we just don't ever want to feel that pain again. Does anybody else relate to that? You know, I'm going to have to confess something. So much of my young life was spent thinking about stuff and thinking about conquering the next goal and trying to get ahead and trying to do the things in life that I thought were really important. And, you know, I'm finally starting to grow up. I'm finally starting to realize that it's really about the relationships in my life. The money comes and goes. Amen? Sometimes it goes a lot faster than it comes. Amen? But you know, I'm looking at my life, and the thing that's really lasting, the thing that's really precious is those people around me. It's you. It's my wife. It's my children. It's my grandchildren. It's this cool thing called, daughters-in-law. We have more daughters now. It's so awesome. We're about to receive a new son-in-law as well. Awesome. I'm still trying to deal with that one a little bit. He's a really sweet kid. And he's a wonderful young man, and I'm looking forward to it. But I can tell you, my son saying I'm getting married, Dad, brought about this sense of joy out of me that, like, oh, yeah. But a young man sitting across from the table from me saying, I want to marry your daughter, it brought about a little different feeling. I'm still happy about it, don't get me wrong. And I'm looking forward to it. His name's Owen, and he's a young man that loves the Lord. He's the young man I've been praying for my daughter Rebecca for quite some time, and I'm excited about it, but I'm still a little nervous, so pray for me on that. But relationships, that's what's important. And you know what's awesome about these in-laws is they come with a whole family too, and so, like, our family just keeps expanding through these relationships. It's incredible. Sharing life with families that love the Lord as well, and now, you know, our love and our relationships encompass multiple states because of the way that this works. And, I mean, God's plan is just so much better than ours. And we resist sometimes, and we fight against it, and we struggle. But I want us to know that whenever you're having that struggle with that other important person in your life, whoever it may be, and it's hurting so deep, I don't want you to look at them and think they're the enemy, okay? We got to understand there's a whole other enemy coming into this thing. And Jesus told us about that. And this while he was talking about his relationship with others. He's the good shepherd. And he talks about this thief. And he says, this thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And we know that means our life. But I'm going to tell you, I think he works on us through those relationships more than any other way. He comes to steal. Let's say it together. He comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. Do you want abundant life today? I don't want to just exist. I don't want to just survive. I don't want to just make it status quo. I want abundant life. And the way I'm going to find that abundant life is through Jesus. I don't want my marriage to just exist. I don't want my marriage, my relationship with my wife to just barely make it. I don't want to just barely get across the finish line in this. I want to have abundant life. So where am I going to find that in my marriage? Through Jesus. I can tell you, this is one of the biggest mistakes I ever made in that relationship, thinking that she could do what I really needed to be looking for God to do. I want you to know, she's a wonderful woman, but she's not God. Nor can she usurp that place in my life. She can't take that place in my life. And if I ever try to expect her to be able to fulfill that place in my life, we are setting her up for failure, and we are setting the relationship up for heartbreak. And I can say that happens far too often because we misrepresent who the real enemy is. Well, let's look at this whole book of Ephesians, just a broad overview from chapter 1 to here. And we're going to talk about the relationships that are discussed in this on the next slide. Ephesians is all about relationships. I used to think it was all about the armor of God. And to be honest with you, I try to force myself to be an expositional preacher because I really just wanted to come to this book and start with the armor. And God said, no, you're going to preach the whole book. And as I've been preaching through the whole book, I've been seeing, yeah, it took a lot more time, but it's worth it because I'm seeing this book is all about relationships. It starts out talking about how God is a relational God, and God is, you know, a God of three persons, right? Can you name off the three persons of the Trinity? Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, right? Perfect unity. He shows us what real relationship looks like right there in the Godhead. And then he talks about our relationship with God first. In the book of Ephesians, it's all about, the first part of it is all about his relationship to us. It's all about how he initiates that relationship and then we receive his invitation and his call. That he thought of us and he wanted that from even before we ever began to recognize it. He was the one who wooed us into that relationship. And so our relationship with God comes first. And then our relationship between the Gentiles and the Jews in Christ. There's no separation. We all come to salvation in the same way, through the same one, and that's through Jesus Christ now. There's perfect unity. And you know, our world wants to talk about unity. I can tell you, if you want to see unity, if you want to see peace, it has to come through the Prince of Peace. And so as the gospel is spread, that's when we'll see that unity. So it's talking about relationships there. It talks a lot about the relationships in the church. Man, what a wonderful big family that I have found in the family of Christ. I used to think, man, why would anybody want to waste their every Sunday going to church? Now you can't keep me out. If the doors are open, I want to be here. Because I found out this is the family. This is a family just like my biological family. In some ways, maybe at some times, I almost feel closer because we're the family of God. We're going to spend forever together. And then it talks about, within these verses in this wonderful collection called Ephesians, it talks about the relationship within marriage. One man, one woman. He desires it for life. That's his plan in this. And he shows us how to honor one another rightfully in the bonds of marriage. It represents his relationship to the church. Jesus is the bridegroom. We are the bride. He wants us to learn this and do this right because we are representing his relationship to the church, to the rest of the world. And so he wants us. Why would it surprise us that Satan has come to attack marriage? It's the very expression and image of Jesus' relationship to Christ, or Jesus' relationship to his church and to his bride. And so here we also see that it talks about our relationship between children and their parents as well. Man, I'm going to tell you, you want to find out how to do relationship, it is found right here in the Word of God. He doesn't even skip our relationship between the worker and the boss. Bond servant master work relationships. And some would say, well, that only applies to slaves. It applies to anyone who owes a debt so they go to work. We should learn how to have the right relationship there, reminding us that we all serve the same true master, and it's God. And then it brings us up to this part of the scripture where it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. I think it's telling us something here. I think it's telling us that all these relationships is really where it's at. Because all of this is sort of like a group deal. It helps us to grow in our relationship with Christ. And Satan is going to attack it. And so we need to be strong. We need to be strong. I used to read this part, and it felt like it was like almost like a separate transition into a new thought. It's not. I've lived long enough and had enough relationships to know that Satan works constantly to try to destroy your relationships with the closest people in your lives. Because if he can keep you off balance there, he's got you exactly where he wants you so that he can keep you unstable and unfruitful in your life. You know why most people will leave a church never to come back is because of a rift that they feel in a particular relationship. It's not usually because of the preacher, because preachers come and go. I went to another church before, and we went out, we decided to go back to a lot of the people that had left the church and find out why they left the church. And we went to one lady, and she had been gone for 35 years. That's a long time, by the way. Anybody's expression of the thing. And we went to this lady, and you know what she told me? She said, the next time you see me in that church is when they wheel my casket up to the front for my visitation. Buddy, I'll tell you what, that's a hard word. I was just a young man at the time, a young Christian, and I'm thinking, whoa, man, that was heavy. And I just had to ask. I said, well, ma'am, let me ask you something. What in the world could have possibly happened to you that has jaded you so much? Not only that church, I said, are you going to any church? And she said, I would never step foot in another church again. I've had it with church. And I said, well, what in the world happened? And she said, well, back in 1960-something, that preacher's wife used to make all kinds of problems by gossiping about people. And I said, ma'am, do you even remember the name of that preacher? She had a hard time remembering his name. And yet, she was still so deeply hurt that she would never come back to another church again. That was a sobering realization for me. And I looked at that, and you know, I asked her, I said, who do you think the real enemy is here? I don't think it was the preacher. And I don't think it was his wife. And later on, I went back and I asked some other people that had been in the church then, what in the world that she may have been talking about? And they kind of explained the deal to me. And to be honest with you, it was really a big misunderstanding. Who do you think was the real enemy? It was Satan. Standing strong in the power of his might. That's the key, guys. If we look at these two verses here, 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We you know, this is all written to us that we might know how Satan uses these to derail our faith. He uses all of these rifts and these relationships because all of them are interconnected. You know, I've seen people that left churches because of their significant other, and it didn't work out, and so they didn't go find another church either. They just got so frustrated by the fact that that relationship failed that they just never wanted to even follow God through his body ever again. And so some might just surmise from that, well, they must not be saved, and I'm going to tell you, I'm not really going to go there. I'm just going to tell you that I think the devil's really good at what he does. But we have the power to make sure that that don't happen to me. If we stand in the power of his might, you've got everything you need to be able to protect yourself against these attacks. Now, my might is not, it's not mighty enough. You know, every time I get ready to preach on something, I get tested on it. So this past week has just been one of those slow motion disasters for me. I mean, it's really been a tough week. It's been a really tough week. But you know, last night I was laying there and I was struggling and Satan was whispering in my ear and he was just telling me just to give up, give in, whatever. But I'm just going to tell you, if it wasn't for God's mightiness, I might just do it. I might just give up. But if we're standing in the power of his might, giving up isn't an option. I'm so glad Jesus didn't give up. You know, whenever he went to that cross and he was outside of that evening before he went to that cross and he was in that Garden of Gethsemane, do you remember how much pressure came upon him? He sweat like great drops of blood. He even prayed to his Father three times that that cup of that suffering would pass by him. And then he ended those prayers with, not my will, but your will be done. We must stand in the power of his might and put on the whole armor, not just part of it, but the whole armor. And if you come back next week, we're going to talk more about that armor, and we're going to take it apart piece by piece. don't just come for one part of the message. If you're not going to be back next week, I know we got a lot of visitors that are here for a special event today. You can pick up the rest of this sermon series on our website, Cadet for Christ. And it's on the back of the bulletin. But, you know, or at least be in the Word yourself and look at these different areas of the armor, because we need to put on the whole armor, and that's actively putting it on and keeping it on. This isn't something we just do one time and ain't a one and done. This is something we need to do every day. And we do it by being in the Word of God, by allowing God to minister to us, by going to Him and asking Him actively that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Do you see there's a theme there? Verse 10 talks about standing, right? And be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. So being strong, being firm. And then in verse 11, and it just uses the word stand. Stand against the wiles of the devil. So this tells us he's tricky. It tells us he has a methodology that he will use against us, that he will try to deceive us. And that's one of his main acts of aggression against us, is to try to deceive us. If you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden in the very first sin, and you see how that all went down, it was the deception. To make Eve doubt God's goodness, and he deceived her just that much, and it was just enough so that they took the bait. And do you know what he's going to do in your relationships? He's going to try to deceive you. He's going to try to deceive you and get your eye off of what he's really doing and that he's really the enemy. And if he can get your eye off of that for just a minute, then he's got you. He's got his advantage over you at that point. And so he really wants, God wants to give us what we need. And so the first thing we need is to remember not to be deceived about who is your enemy. That next slide, as we look at that, do not be deceived about who is your enemy. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood." So that rules out your wife, your child, your pastor, your whatever is out there. That rules out any of them, because it says we're not wrestling against flesh and blood. They're flesh and blood. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Guys, these are places we can't see with our human eyes. So if you think you're going to fight and win this battle with just your human eyes open, you are dead wrong. And you're going to be taken advantage of. And so God doesn't want us to be taken advantage of, so he's showing us who the real enemy is. Let's fight the devil. Let's fight the hosts of wickedness. I don't know how many there are, but I know that whenever we see visions into heaven, and it's expressed to us by the Apostle John in the book of Revelation, he says there's myriads and myriads that can't be counted of angels in heaven. And let us remember that there's half that many of fallen angels on earth. Because there were three times that many in heaven, and one time fell to the earth, was cast out because of the rebellion. And so as there were myriads seen in heaven, there's half that many here on earth. And so that means there's quite a few. Not to freak us out or scare us or anything like that. We don't have to be afraid if we're standing in the power of his might. But I just want you to know that there's enough of them to try to deceive us that they're probably pretty successful at it if we're not paying attention. And so what we've got to quit doing is we've got to quit fighting each other. And we need to start fighting the real enemy, which is the spiritual enemy, and Satan and his demons, these ones from these heavenly places. And here's the thing. This is the part that really gives me a lot of hope, this next slide, is because I begin to realize, like, guys, I don't have to go slay down all the enemy. That's not really what he's calling me to do. He's calling me to stand. If I just stand, I win. That simplifies it for me. That helps me a whole bunch. He's just saying, stand your ground. Don't give it up. There's this weird little story in the Old Testament about this mighty man of God that was one of David's mighty men. And he stood his ground in this bean field. It was a lentil field. I don't know. I get in trouble with a couple people that like lentils around here, but I don't really like lentils.
I've had them, and I've tried them a lot of different ways, and I really just don't like them. And so whenever I think about that, I think, there's no way I would give up my life to stand over and try to protect this field of lentils. But that wasn't even the point. It wasn't for the lentils that he stood. It was the fact that that land belonged to his king, and he wasn't going to give it up. He was there to do the will of his king, your family. Is that territory? Your family belongs to God, and he's saying, don't abandon them. Don't turn away. Don't fight against them. You stand. Take care of them. That church that you're part of. Guys, it's part of that ground. Your community is part of that ground. This country is part of that ground. We only lose if we fail to stand. You see, take up the whole armor that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. That's all I got to do. Yeah, I know it's a high calling. And sometimes it's going to feel like you just can't do it anymore. And you can't, but God can. So you do it in his strength, and you will. Because honestly, guys, when I look at my family, when I look at my church family, whenever I look at all that is so important to me, all these relationships, quitting is not an option. I can't look at my wife and say, man, I really love you, honey, but I'm going to quit today. It would be a lie. I can't look at my children and say, I really love you guys with all my heart, but today I'm going to quit. Can't look at my church family and preach this sermon and say, by the way, today I quit. Because everything I just said would be of absolutely no value in your sight anymore at that point. You see, guys, we have got to stand. And quitting is not an option. And he even talks about Jesus warned him, you're going to be hated for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. Quitting is just not an option. You ever notice that map over here? I point to it often because they're one of the reasons why I just can't quit. I'm looking at that map and it's telling us to pray for the persecuted, and it's outlining all these different countries where our brothers and sisters are constantly under attack. And you know what? They don't quit. I haven't felt half the pain that they've felt. I've got to stand so they can stand. I need to stand and so that I can encourage them and pray for them and so they can stand. And we're all in this together because quitting is not an option. We need to stand, therefore. Matthew 24, verses 11 through 6, it tells us that many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And this is where Jesus is talking about in the last days. Guys, we're in the last days. I mean, we don't have to sit around and debate about that. And we don't know exactly where we are in the last days. I can't tell you when Christ is coming back because nobody here knows. But I will guarantee you, we are in the last days and we're seeing it played out. And he's saying many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, does it look like lawlessness is trying to abound these days? Amen? You know, we're seeing it. And it says, love of many is going to grow cold because of that. You know what that means? Relationships are going to be broken. But we're called to stand. We're not called to go with that flow. We're called to stand in the flow. We're called to not move. We're called to still stand for Christ, to still stand, love our families, to still stand and be there for them. We are called to not quit. We are called because this last verse here in this is the same as what we just read, but he who endures to the end shall be saved. Quitting is not an option. I know I've said that. Is anybody counting how many times I've said that? I'm going to say it a couple more times before it's over because I'm telling you, quitting is not an option. I'm telling myself, quitting is not an option.
It doesn't matter how bad it hurts. It doesn't matter how long the battle goes. It doesn't matter how long God leaves us here in it. It doesn't matter where we end up, where our location is, what happens to our family, or what they may even do to us. Quitting is not an option. We must stand. And I'll tell you what, our enemy is very deceptive. And I'll tell you, one of the places that we just really need to go to take his ground back is, first of all, let's put on the armor. Let's get our armor on for this battle. And we're going to pull down these strongholds in ourselves and our families. That's what we've been talking about on the next slide. This month, the month of February, we're pulling down strongholds. You know, as soon as you start pulling down strongholds, it's like you wake the enemy up. Has anybody recognized that? How's your house been doing since we started praying for this last week, last Sunday? You're probably going to be saying, "Preacher, stop." But I'm telling you, God's plan's good. We start pulling down strongholds, it's going to wake the enemy up. He's going to get all roused, and he's going to roar. It's like a roaring lion, the Bible says. Do you know that sometimes the prey gets so frightened by that roar, they get paralyzed where they can do nothing, and that's how the lion attacks them. Do you know sometimes that roar is so frightening that sometimes the prey dies of a heart attack? We don't have to be afraid. In fact, 366 times in the Bible, God tells us not to fear. I've heard 365, and I've heard 366. I think it's 366, because I think God knew we'd have a leap year. He wants us to have every day covered, even on the fourth year. He wants us to make sure that we remember not to fear, because I can tell you, that fear is a killer. That's what kills the prey when the enemy, the lion, roars. And so we're going to pull down those strongholds. We are going to pray that God sets us completely free so that we can serve him without hindrance. We're going to take back that ground from the enemy. And here in Matthew 12, 29, Jesus talks about that. How can one man enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? And then he will plunder his house. And I'm going to show you how we bind that strong man in this next slide. You see, the devil's really deceptive, and his deception is his greatest tool against us. And here's where he works in our lives. This is where he works in our lives, and this is where he gets his power. And this is how these strongholds are hard to break. He hides in our secret sins. Don't anybody sit in here and act like you don't have one, because I'm just going to tell you, it's the human heart. Our hearts are sinful. But we need to keep it out in the open all the time. If you do some introspective looking right now and you realize God just showed you something just that quick, it's because he's got his finger on it. And it's time for you to make sure that you confess that to God, because he already knows about it. It ain't a secret from him. You're just trying to keep it a secret from everybody else. We need to get it out in the open with him first, and then he'll show you what to do next. But we just need to make sure that we keep short accounts with God, because if we don't, and we allow Satan to hide in that secret sin, that's where we'll begin to lose the battle. And there's families that have individuals in the family that are bound by all these different secret sins, and they're not confessing them to God, and they're not confessing them to one another, and they are held at bay by the enemy, and they are paralyzed in fear. But you know what we just need to do? Bring him out into the light, and his power is bound. It's gone. It's just gone. I've seen it happen so many times. I've seen it happen in my own life. Whenever we bring it out into the light, we can be healed and we can be set free. That stronghold is broken. Because we're set free, and then our relationships are set free as well. We're going to end with 1 John 1. Verses 7 through 10, and then we're going to have an altar call time, because I want you to be able to respond to whatever God's doing in your heart right now. And then after that altar call time, we have the time of dedication of these two little ones, and we're excited about that. But I want us to end with this one thought. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, this comes from 1 John 1, verses 7 through 10. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. You look at that relationship. Can we all say amen to that? Simply put, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, us and God, us and our family, us and our church, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Do you want to be cleansed? Say amen if you want to be cleansed. We need to be continually cleansed. Amen. He wants us to be continually cleansed. He says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You look at that deception. Who do you think's behind that? The deceiver. And then we're deceiving ourselves at that point, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. I don't see anybody in this room that looks to me like you want to call God a liar right now. And so he's saying we're sinners, and he's saying the way that we are forgiven is by confessing that sin and getting it out in the light, and he will heal us. He will forgive us, and he will cleanse us. And oh, how we need to be cleansed. Let me pray for you, and we're going to have a time that you can come to the front and pray about anything that's on your heart. You can do it quietly. You can do it with somebody. You can pray where you're sitting, right, where you're standing in this last song. Whatever the Lord leads you to do, I just pray you'll honor him and you will obey him. And just move with him and do what he says. So let me pray for you. Father God, I believe without a doubt in my mind that you're working here today, Lord. I know you're working in my own heart. God, forgive me where I sin against you, Lord. Forgive me. And please don't let me try to hide in the darkness anything that I need to confess to you. Father, bless this whole congregation. Thank you for every individual that is in this room. It is not by accident. Lord, you ordained this moment. You ordained your word. You ordained it to come forth today through me as your servant. And Father, you're working in our hearts. Help us just to lay our sins at the foot of the cross. I want to be healed. I want to be cleansed continually. And I want to be rid of the strongholds that the enemy has erected in my life. And I don't want it to affect my family anymore, Lord. So set us free through your light. I pray that you will move in this place today and that not one individual, not one person will disobey your voice. God, however you're leading us, I pray that we will just obey your voice. God, there may be somebody in this place that has realized today that there's no other salvation except for that which we find in Jesus. That you are the only one who could have died for our sins. I can't pay for my sins. But Lord, your precious, perfect, sinless life, when you gave it on that cross, was done to pay for my sins. And Lord, you proved it on the third day when you rose again. If there's anyone in this place that realizes that today and believes that you truly are the Son of God sent to take away our sins and that you rose on the third day, I pray they'll surrender their life to you as Lord and Savior. Father, please move during this time. In Jesus' name, amen.